I'm curious this morning, how many of you know what it's like to try to get a hold of someone in your life at a moment when you need them most? What it's like to try to get a hold of someone when it just doesn't seem like they are incredibly available. Best case scenario, you're just a little bit bummed out that your schedules didn't line up for you to connect at the moment. This is how my kids and I feel when we try to FaceTime my mom in Chicago. We all get excited. Who wants to call Grammy? And so we'll all gather around my little 4-inch iPhone screen and we'll call my mom, hoping that we can say hey to her for a bit before the kids go to sleep. And it seems there are plenty of times when, for whatever reason, she just can't pick up. And so my two oldest kids, Lucy and Ollie, they both learned at a young age what it meant when the phone rang and rang and rang and rang and rang and rang. And then there was the little circle with the gray X through it that would pop up on the screen. And I can remember their little voices. They learned at a super young age. They realized what that meant. And so they would respond, "Oh, she's unavailable." Every time. "Oh, unavailable." Okay. Worst case scenario, when someone's unavailable, like, you get mad. I have a handful of people in my life who I just know. If I call them right now, they are not picking up the phone, right? They just do not seem to ever be available at the moment when I need them most. Friends, I don't know about you, but I wonder if this is how God feels about any of us at times, right? The Bible is very clear that God has a plan for us, that he has a purpose for us. He has an assignment with our name on it, that he has good work that he prepared for us to do in advance. And so I wonder, maybe you wonder, if God ever thinks to himself, man, they just don't ever seem to be available at the moment when I needed them or when I wanted them most. I don't want that to be true of me. And I don't want that to be true of you either. With every part of me, I really do believe that our greatest adventure in life, right? That our highest calling, our highest sense of fulfillment in this life is the life that God knit together specifically and uniquely for each and every one of us. And so I think that the lives that we live, in the fulfillment that we experience, depend on the prayers that we pray. And so today, in the final week of our series, Dangerous Prayers, I want to teach you a very short, a very simple, and yet still a very dangerous prayer of availability. Okay, in case you missed the first 2 weeks of the series, Dangerous Prayers, in case you're curious, what are you talking about here, Sten? In case you missed it, Dangerous Prayers are not prayers that are harmful to us. They're not hurtful prayers, but they are prayers that get God's attention, okay? They are prayers that if we pray them, God just might answer them. And so if we're not ready for God to answer these prayers, then we probably should not be praying them. And yet, I have been saying to you throughout this series, is my hope that more and more and more of us would be praying these very prayers, because I think that they have the ability to change the trajectory of the lives that we are living right now. Quick recap. In week one, I introduced you to the prayer, "Search me." It's a dangerous prayer because we're giving God permission to examine our hearts and to see if there is anything offensive in us, not in other people, not in some spouse or in-law or boss or coworker, right? We're giving God permission to examine our hearts and to see if there is anything offensive in us, right? That anything that's offensive in us that might not be what God had in mind for us. Last week, I introduced you to the prayer, "Break me." It's a dangerous prayer. God, break me. And this is actually not a prayer that anyone prayed specifically in the Bible, but it is a prayer that leads us to a place that we saw many arrived at when we read their stories in the Bible. It's a prayer that leads us to a place where I think God has our attention the most, and where we don't hold on to anything too tightly, and where we offer the least bit of resistance to how God's Spirit is working and moving in our life. And quite frankly, it's a pretty freeing, it's a pretty kind of liberating place to be. And so the final dangerous prayer that I want to teach you, it's actually a prayer that emerges out of one of three ways that I think most people respond to God when God asks us to do something for him. And so I'm not going to reveal this last dangerous prayer to you quite yet. First, what I want to do is I want to flip through some of the stories of the Bible where we see the various ways that God's people responded to his call on their life. And what I think might happen is that you'll see that maybe, just maybe, one of these first two responses is, or maybe it has been, one of your responses at some point when God has been calling you to something. And when I'm done today, I'm hoping that the third and final response that we read about will be the response of each and every one of us here, that it will be the dangerous prayer that you and I are praying together. So the first response that I think we see throughout the Bible to God's call on the lives of his people, the first is Jonah's response to God's call on his life. Jonah was a Hebrew prophet among God's people, and Jonah's story is told in a book of the Old Testament that is actually named after him. And so here's how this story begins. It says, "The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. He said, 'Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are.'" Now, to put it very plainly for you here, and just kind of let you in on a little secret, Nineveh was not near the top of any preacher's wish list, okay? It was not a very desirable place to go. And yet this is where God called Jonah to go. So how would he respond? Let's keep reading. Here's verse 3. "But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish, and he bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish." Okay, so God very clearly calls Jonah's name. And Jonah says, "Here I am, God. I'm not going. Thanks, but no thanks. Not today, not to Nineveh. Too hard, too far away, people too messed up, too tall a task for me to be interested in right now. I'm not doing it." If you were here with us last week, or you've ever heard my story, my kind of story of planting a church, this was kind of my first response. This was my response to the first time that I ever was presented with the opportunity to plant a church. And while I mentioned that briefly to you last week, I didn't exactly say why that was my response. The truth is, I was afraid. Okay, I had heard from you know, superiors of mine, I had heard that church planting would break you, that it would be the hardest thing you ever did before. I heard that you had to be pretty scrappy to be a church planter, and I wasn't really sure if scrappy was a term that had ever been used to describe me before. And on top of that, Erica and I knew personally, I mean, like close friends of ours, we knew personally about 3 to 4 gifted pastors who went out to plant churches before we ever did, and all of those churches never made it past just a handful of years, okay? And so this whole idea of church planting that was kind of dropped, you know, in front of us, this whole idea of church planting that was kind of, you know, set down before us, it was not really all that appealing. And so the first time that God put this opportunity in front of us, we both said, "Nope, I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing that." It's a classic, classic, classic Jonah response. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you have said the same thing in your life. You've sensed that God was leading you somewhere. You sensed that God was nudging you towards something, towards someone, and you said, "No way. I hear you, God, but I'm not going." That's the first common response that I think so many of us have to God's call on our life. Here's the second. This one comes from the Old Testament hero Moses. Okay, God taps Moses on the shoulder for one of the biggest assignments ever recorded in the history of God's people. And so how would Moses respond? Before we get to Moses' response, let me just get you up to speed on what exactly this assignment was. God's people have been slaves in Egypt, and they have been praying to God to rescue them, Please, God, hear our prayers. Please, God, rescue us from our oppressors. And God hears their prayers, and he's finally ready to put a plan into motion. And so here's Exodus chapter 3, verses 9 to 11. God is speaking to Moses, and he says, look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, he says to Moses, go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh, and you must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. And here it is, we start to see glimpses of the way that Moses is going to respond. Verse 11, but Moses protested to God, who am I? Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? Moses cannot believe that God would actually be calling on him at this moment. He's like, you talking to me, God? You can't be. And God assures Moses that he is the right man for the job and that God will be with him. And this little debate, you know, like, I can't do it. Yes, you can. I'll be there with you. This goes on back and forth on into chapter 4. And eventually Moses pleads. He pleads with God. Look at chapter 4, verse 13. But Moses said, pardon your servant. He's saying, let me off the hook, Lord. Please send someone else. There it is. That's the second response that so many of us, so many of God's people have had, right? Jonah says, I'm not going. And Moses says, send someone else. Right? He's one of the true spiritual giants. He heard God's call on his life clearly, and his initial response was, nah, I'm not sure I'm right for the job. I don't really think you could possibly be serious that I am the one that you want. You should probably, God, if you're open to my advice, I'd say you should probably send someone, anyone other than me. Thankfully, Moses would eventually say yes to God, but it wasn't his initial response. And I don't think it's always ours either, right? We never think that we're good enough or smart enough or talented enough or spiritual enough or rich enough or whatever enough. We don't know enough Bible verses, right, to be of any real significance to God. And so we think, well, certainly he should send someone other than me. The reality is there are opportunities around us everywhere. I mean, there's stomachs to feed, there's backpacks to fill, there's clean water to provide to people in the developing world that don't have it, there's marriages to save, there's families to strengthen, there's friends to encourage, there's kids and teenagers who need another consistent adult influence in their life, right? That there is need around us everywhere. And oftentimes, what's our default response? Yeah, that sounds horrible. That sounds rough. I feel kind of bad about that, but please, God, send someone else, right? Someone else will do it, right? Someone else will go, right? Someone else will lead. Someone else will serve. Someone else will write the check. Someone else will sign up. Someone else will volunteer. Someone else will listen. Someone else will, adopt. Someone else will step up to fight hunger or poverty or whatever is happening in the world. Someone else will do it. So God, maybe please just send someone else. Send anyone other than me. See, I think that we want to do big things for God. We just assume that we don't have what it takes. We just assume that we're maybe actually not ready for it. And so we cross our fingers and we hope that God taps on the shoulder of someone else on down the line. And the reality is, folks, if this is the way that we respond, right, the world around us, in our church, in our community, in our families will be in real trouble. And so I'm hoping that more and more of us would be ready to respond and to pray like we're going to see in just a moment here. Jonah says, I'm not going. Moses says, send someone else. But the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, he responded quite differently to God's call. He responded quite differently to God's invitation to him. In a sense, he prayed a dangerous prayer. that changed the course of his life. He prayed a prayer that plucked him off of the sidelines and inserted him into the starting lineup. And that's the prayer that I want you to see here today. Here's what we read in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah is speaking and he says, "Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?'" And now pay very, very, very close attention to how Isaiah responds. Notice his first response isn't like a follow-up question, or, you know, he's not getting clarification. You know, his very first response wasn't, you know, "Well, where exactly do you need me to go? And what exactly is the cost of living there? And can I really afford a house there? And what, you know, what is the pay range? And what are the people like there? Are they really Packer fans there? God, you got to tell me something about where it is that you are sending me." But he doesn't ask anything like that. Instead, he does respond like this. Look at Isaiah says, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." That's a dangerous prayer to pray. Send me. Send me. When I think about this, it seems to me that when God is kind of scanning the world, right, looking for people that he's going to use to change the world, it seems to me that God isn't searching for the greatest ability. He's just searching for the most availability from you and from me, right? God is not searching for the people that seem to display the greatest ability out of anyone out there. It seems to me that he is simply looking for people that express to him the most availability to where it is that God is leading and where it is that God is calling. That's what he's looking for from us. "You need someone to go, God? I'm not sure I'm the most talented person for the job. I'm not sure I'm the smartest or the most experienced, but send me. You got a message to deliver? God, I'll deliver it," right? "You need someone to step up to the plate? Say no more. I'm your man. I'm your woman. I'll do it. Send me. I'm available to you right now, God." See, Isaiah would go on to become such an incredibly influential messenger to the entire nation of Israel. He would become one of the most influential prophets in their history as a people, all because he heard God's voice and he raised his hand and he offered up a simple prayer of availability. "Send me, God." And while Isaiah was the only one to actually say these words that we can see, while he was the only one to actually kind of pray this prayer, "Send me, God," so many others throughout the pages of Scripture have made themselves available to God in the very same way, despite the many, 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 many reasons why they could have said, "No, I'm not going." Okay, in the book of Genesis, we read that God called Abraham to leave the only place that he'd ever known, to relocate into a foreign, far-off land that he had never been to before. And the very next sentence after God gave Abraham his instructions to go, it says, "So Abraham went, as the Lord told him." Abraham made himself available to God and became the patriarch of God's entire family tree on earth. Right, God made the call to a young, unmarried, virgin, teenage girl named Mary from Nowheresville to give birth to a child, despite the potential controversy that it would stir up in her life and that it would bring upon her engagement. She had every reason to run from God and to tell him, "I'm not going to do it." She had every reason to plead with God to choose someone else, anyone else for the job. But instead, she said, "I am your servant, Lord. May it happen to me just as you have said that it would." What is she communicating to God? "I'm available to you, God. Send me. I'm in. Pick me. Choose me, God. I'm available to you for what you need right now." And as a result, she becomes the mother to the Savior of the world. Mid-Kern, I recognize that that's a pretty tough act to follow, mother to the Savior of the world. But don't you just wonder? I do. I wonder what could happen if and when you say yes to where God is calling, to where God is leading. See, I wonder what life-changing, I wonder what community-shaping, I wonder what generation-altering, I wonder what kingdom-building work you and I could do if we said yes to God. Can you imagine what God could accomplish through you and me if we said, yeah, God, this is scary. Yeah, there are so many people that are more qualified than me. Yes, God, people might think that I'm crazy if I actually go through with this, but I'm completely available to you. Here I am, God. Send me. Send me back to school, God. Send me to seminary. Right? Send me into the MC Kids classrooms here at church. Send me into the lives of teenagers on Wednesday nights at MC Youth. Right? Send me into the boardroom, God. Send me into the conference room. Send me into the hallways at school. Send me onto the playing fields and to every place where you want me to represent you. I don't care where it is, God. I'm making myself available to you. Send me, God. I wonder what would happen if more and more of us prayed that prayer every day. The truth is that is, I get it. That is a very intimidating prayer. That's a dangerous prayer, right? Making ourselves available to God feels a little bit scary. I get that. See, I think that most of us get nervous about this kind of deal. Most of us get nervous about raising our hand saying, God, I'm in wherever you want to go. Because we've grown up thinking that if we do this, then it means inevitably God is going to like send us to Africa or something. We're like, God, I knew it, right? If I say I'm available to you, I just know it. You're going to send me across the world, right? So we're unsure. If I raise my hand, does that mean I have to quit my job and give up on my dream and rip my kids away from their friends and from the only home that they've ever known, right? Is that how this works? And while God might call us to places that we had never imagined before, right? And if he does, I think he's going to give us a heart for it first. I think he's going to give us a passion for where he might send us, okay? So while God might call us to places and to people that we've never imagined before, I think more often than not, God just wants to send us to people into places where we're already connected, where we're already living life every day. And so maybe he would, but maybe he doesn't want to send you across the world because he simply wants to send you across the street into the lives of your neighbors that you've lived across the street from 8 years and you've never done more than wave from the end of the driveway. Maybe he doesn't want to send you across the world because he just wants to send you across the hallway into the office and into the life of a coworker of yours. Maybe he's not necessarily sending you to go serve the poor in Calcutta, India, because he simply wants you to be serving more in your church or in your community or in your family or maybe even in your marriage. See, before you say no to what it is that you think God might be calling you to, ask him to highlight for you where it is that he would send you here and now. Before you say no to what you think he would do, just ask him to highlight where he would send you right here and right now in the life that you are already living. Jonah said, here I am, I'm not going. Moses initially said, here I am, send someone else, anyone else, please, God. Isaiah, on the other hand, and countless others with the lives that they lived, they said, here I am, God. Send me. And so the question for you today is, how will you respond to God's call for you? See, my challenge to every one of you and to myself is to take the next week, maybe the next month, if you really want to live and to pray dangerously, take the next year and pray that short prayer every morning before your feet hit the ground. All right, before you do anything else with your day, tell God, send me. Okay, to say, God, you use me today. I'm available to do what you need me to do today. Give him permission, right? You got to give God permission to interrupt you today. And the reality is you got to give God permission, not so much for him, for his sake, but for your sake, right? Because if we get interrupted when we're not expecting it, we get really crabby. I do. Okay, all of us, I know how this goes. We're all too important. We're all too busy for interruptions. And so if we're serious about this prayer, then we got to give God permission We got to pray every day. God, if you want me to go somewhere today, I will go. If you want me to stay, I'll stay. If you want me to say something to someone, I'll speak up. If you want me to hear someone's story today, I'll listen. If you want me to give something away, or if you want me to use some bit of my time and my talent for something so much greater than me, God, I'm all yours. It's a prayer of availability. And in case you've forgotten the title of the series, it's also a very dangerous prayer to pray. Because as soon as you start praying this prayer and giving God permission to interrupt you, to get your attention, he will. He'll start to interrupt you. He'll start to nudge you. He'll start to prompt you to move toward the people into the places that are near to his heart, that he wants to be near to your heart as well. So it really is dangerous to pray, send me. It's a little scary. Trust me, I get that. I like safe and predictable. I like comfortable and secure. Okay, before I take a step, I usually like to know that there is some solid footing on the other side. If you've worked at all with me before, you know that I usually like to know that every I is dotted and every T is crossed before I make my next move. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure that we experience the fullness of life as God intended for us when we play it safe. When we don't take a risk, when we don't take a chance. A number of years ago, I walked past a quote that was framed on the wall of a restaurant. I don't remember the restaurant we were at, I just remember walking by it. I walked by a quote framed on the wall of the restaurant that some days I wish was framed on the wall in my own home. And that anonymous quote read this: "A ship in harbor is safe, but that is not what a ship was built for." I love that. A ship in harbor, you better believe it's safe. But folks, that is not what a ship was built for. Mid-Current, I guarantee you that it is safer to never raise your hand. It is safer to never reach out. It is safer to never take a risk. It is safer to never give God permission to send you to a place that you've never been before or to do anything that you've never done before. I guarantee you it's safer to play it that way. But I do not believe that that is what we were built for. Deep down in my core, I do not believe that that is what God designed us for. He created us for so much more. He gave us his spirit to empower us to do so much more. He breathed his very likeness into each of us so that we would reflect his image wherever we go, and so that our hearts would start to beat like his heart for the world around us. He sent us to continue his work, so that a slice of the kingdom of heaven would be experienced here and now on earth. And I think it all begins. I think it begins to unfold more and more and more with a two-word prayer from you and me. Send me. It's a very powerful thing that happens. It's what this series has been built on. It's a very powerful thing that happens when our prayers shift. It's a powerful thing that happens when our prayers shift from what it is that God can do for us to what it is that we could maybe do for him and for the world around us. And I'm praying that many, 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 many more of us would begin to make that shift in our hearts today. Let me pray for us. God, we know that you have big things planned for us. We know that you have big things planned for this church, for your kingdom here on earth, wherever it is that we are following after you, God. We know you're there. We know you've gone before us into the places that you have already called us to. God, and I know that it feels intimidating. First-hand experience, I know that it feels intimidating to do things and to go places that we've never done before, that we maybe thought we couldn't do, that we weren't ready to do, that we weren't qualified enough to do, that someone else could do better. That's risky, God, that there's no guarantees. And so I just thank you, God, that your promise to us, no matter where we go, no matter what we do, God, is to be by our side, God. I'm so grateful for the reminder that you are for us. You're not against us, God. You're not sending us to places or to people. You're not giving us one kind of assignment or the other out of punishment because you're against us, God, or that you want to make life harder for us or whatever. God, we know that you're for us, not against us. And so we want to go where it is that you have called us to go, God. So would you remind us that wherever it is that you've called us to go, you're there. You've prepared in advance for us work to do, people to love, a community to reach. And so God, give us courage and give us boldness to maybe start praying this prayer this week, this month, this year. God, give us the courage and give us the boldness to pray every one of these prayers. Search me, God, break me so that I'm not holding on to anything too tightly. Other than holding on to you, God. And may we have the courage and the boldness right now in our life to pray, send me, God, to the people and to the places that you have prepared for me. God, I get excited to think about what a community like this could do when we walk out into this world with our hand raised and our hearts open to you, saying, God, I'm all yours. We're all yours. You lead the way. And we'll follow. God, we're praying that big things would happen in this church, in this community, in the lives of our families and our marriages, God, in the hallways of our schools and our workplaces, God. We're praying that you would be on the move and that you would be calling us right out onto the playing field along with you. We pray that